You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. We have a great show for you tonight. We're talking about politics, politics as usual. What happens to our core values? What happens to us when we feel like we don't have actual leadership? You know, I know that some of you listening tonight were stressed out over the recent election. I know that others of you listening are a little bit angry, maybe disgruntled, you know, at the system itself. You know, and some of us have actually given up. You're feeling that there's no good people running, so why even bother voting? You know, and I want to ask us a question first off. What is the current state of affairs, the current state of affairs that we live in about our country? What does that say about our leadership? What does that say about us? You know, why is it that in certain aspects of society, whether it's science, technology, philosophy, whatever, why does it seem that we have true leaders in those variations? It seems that we have real advancement. You know, however, when it comes to politics, and I like to say politics as usual for a reason, that there is no real greatness. There's no real inherent leaders. You know, I heard countless times this last week, Ashley, you got to vote for the least of the worst evil. I wonder, what does that say about us? You know, if I ran a company like they run the government, our company wouldn't be in business for very long. I'll tell you that. Bill, how are you doing tonight?
You know, I am doing wonderful, Ashley. Thanks for asking. And I'm really excited about this show because, as you know, I'm a news junkie and I follow politics, and I've definitely got some strong opinions, and I would like the opportunity to talk about it.
Well, let's go back. Okay, so earlier this week we were talking, you know, we have various shows on various channels, and so Bill and I were talking earlier about how he stayed up all night during the election count.
That was me. I'm the nerd that's following it on the internet and got the TV on and checking the returns, and, you know. And
you went
to
bed at what, 2:45?
Something like that, yeah.
In the morning, 2:45.
Yes.
I remember, I think I shut off the election results at like 10:20. I mean, this was way before any of that stuff went down. I mean, I still thought that we had two independents in the United States elected. Everybody's like, what the heck are you talking about? I still thought there was a couple of independents that got elected, but I guess I was wrong. However, no, so you stayed up. Did anything change from 11 o'clock till 2:45?
Yes, actually.
Really?
And now, for those of our listeners listening on iHeartRadio Live, or who will be listening later on Spreaker or iTunes, we happen to live in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. And so a couple things changed. One, locally here in Dallas, Republicans captured the county, Dallas County District Attorney's office, which that's the first time a Republican has won in Dallas County in 8 years. So that's pretty major. And but the second major thing nationally was that the Republicans captured control of the Senate for the first time in, I believe, 8 years also.
Well, goodness gracious. We'll see if it's politics as usual. Gary, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Ready to think and talk here.
Willing to throw it in here.
Yeah.
You can do both at the same time?
Yeah, he can think. He can't. He got to think and talk at the same time. Yeah, we don't know. You know, you never know. It's about chewing gum. You never know what's going on. Keenan, how you doing?
I'm disgruntled.
You're disgruntled?
Very disgruntled, yes. Yes, very disgruntled. The elections and, like, you know, other stuff, you know. But other than that, I mean, like, the results that we got, I wasn't too happy about it.
You aren't happy?
No, not at all. Not at all.
I think a lot of people weren't happy about it. I mean, like, I don't remember how many people came up to me and say you have to vote for the least of the worst evil. To me, that doesn't sound that promising. I mean, at what time does that sound promising? I mean, I don't have to sit there and say, well, hang out with the least of the worst person. I don't get it. I mean, Gary, what do you think about that?
Basically, that's saying they have no good choices, nobody they believe in. And that's the difference. I think years ago, people really got into it and they really were behind a politician. And now people who are involved in the race might. But I think the general populace, you know, just is very frustrated and feels like it doesn't matter who gets in.
Well, and, you know, and Gary, I think that's a great point. And I'll tell you this, you know, Ashley, I think it's important to say, I mean, because I don't know about you, I don't want to make this show, okay, we're, you know, conservatives beating up on liberals or we're liberals beating up conservatives. We don't need to make this show partisan in order to speak intelligently about the state of our political situation. But I think Gary hit the point. It's that most people kind of tune it out.
I agree. Most people do tune it out.
Yeah.
They tune it out for a reason. And we're not any sort of ideology on this station at all. I mean, I'm talking about not politics. I'm talking about leadership. I mean, have we ever really had true leadership? I'm wondering if we have just too much government. Are there really any true leaders? Do the true leaders run for office? And I know right before we started the show, you know, Gary, you and I were talking about the fact that you don't really think that true, real leaders would want to run for office.
No, because it's too much game playing. And they want to lead a company, lead an organization, lead a charity, and make changes in the world. And the problem is you get into politics, and by the time you're in the position to make those changes, you owe a lot of people favors. And, you know, you're a little bit twisted. You're not the same person with the good goals that you started as.
I see that, because I think a lot of people have to make some sort of agreements probably to get into office. I also wonder, though, why, I don't know, I just kind of feel that we're stuck. I mean, I feel that humanity is stuck with politicians that aren't that good.
Well, yeah, I think it's been like that personally, because the thing is, I mean, the way we are pack animals, and I'm sorry, but most of us are sheeple. Get it? We are. A lot of us are sheeple.
They just follow.
Yeah, most people, there are more people who follow than lead. You know, and so the thing is, whenever, you know, the wolf comes out the pack, someone is going to either appoint themselves leader, or they are appointed leaders by the rest of the population. And that's just how politics works. And that's just how human beings ourselves, that's just how we work. Now, the thing is, if you are a leader and you follow no one whatsoever, but yet you're not running for office, then the general public looks at you as if there is something wrong with you, because you have all these ideas and you want to be creative and whatnot, but it does not fit in with the status quo. And people love the status quo for the simple fact we like to be comfortable.
Yeah, we don't like to waste energy thinking. You know, Keena, I forget who first coined the term, but there's a term in political science called rational ignorance. And basically what it means is, you know, average Joe Sixpack, who works minimum 8 hours a day, maybe 10 or 12, family to support, kids and soccer and football and whatever extracurricular activity, doesn't have the time to follow politics and to really know who is who and what the issues are. And so when it comes time to vote, then he's basically going to say, well, I don't know. I mean, if I'm a Republican, I'm going to vote for this guy. If I'm a Democrat, I'm going to vote for that guy. And they don't have the time to invest. The only people who are excited about politics are people who are passionate about it, who care about it. They're the ones who dominate the political parties right now.
Well, okay, but I agree and disagree, though. I think that there's some people that are very enthusiastic and care about the issues, but they find that nobody represents the issue. I mean, you have a lot of people, you know, kind of tiptoeing around the issues. You have a lot of people saying they're going to do something. You have a lot of people that don't even have a real reason for running. They can't even explain to you how they feel on any of the issues. And then half the times, I feel like they're the same of the same coin. They're the same side of the same coin. I mean, whoever you vote for, it really doesn't matter. It all breaks down to the same thing.
Whether they're Democrat or liberal, or Republican, rather. Yeah.
Or whatever, for that matter. I mean, I think that you have to be somebody outside of the organization to come in and actually shine some light on a situation, because it's just like anything in life. So, you know, how when people have their own issues. Okay. So, you know, I'm a therapist and I'm a life coach. And so when people come into my office, a lot of times their issues seem a lot bigger than they can be. Sometimes they are quite big, but sometimes you have to be able to step back and see things from a different perspective. And a lot of times, if you are a lifetime politician, Okay, some lifetime politicians might be decent people, but I feel, one, that there's too much time. I think that there should be one term and you're out, and then the IRS audits you to make sure you haven't stolen anything. And I think you might actually get something done. I think on the flip side, though, you have these people that they've been in the system so long, it's so antiquated, that they don't understand how to change some of the easiest things because they don't get it, or they just understand that they're just playing this game.
Or their goal is to stay in the system and stay employed.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, they're too busy keeping their job rather than doing their job.
Well, the thing is, that only happens in the legislative branch of the office. Now, for example, with the executive office, I mean, nationally, that is, with the president of the United States, I mean, that person is only going to be in office for 8 years maximum. That is it. But at the same time, though, everyone is worried about the president when it's like, no, guys, we need to look at Congress because we have people up in there that have been in there for, like, you know,
20 years, 30 years.
Well, Keenan, you know, yeah, I mean, that's a great point, and maybe we can get into this later on in the show, but there's a lot of lack of basic knowledge of civics in America, and I think that contributes to the problem of leadership.
There's tenure. I mean, yeah. you have bad professors in a college that get tenure, they're never going to leave. It's the same thing. I mean, in this situation, it's just a bunch of people following, just like Keenan was saying earlier. So when we return, we're going to take the conversation steps further. We're going to talk about how this ravages our emotional core as human beings, how our lack of leadership in the country might reflect in our lack of leadership within our own personal lives. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm, and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
To Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Wow, what a great show we have for you tonight. We're talking politics as usual. We're talking, a lot of y'all have been stressed out over the recent elections. A lot of you have been angry, possibly even disgruntled. Some of you have even decided to give up on the entire system. It's a flawed system. It's a panic system. It's a system that nothing ever gets done, with a complete lack of leadership. And you know what? It seems to be the same on both party lines. I think a lot of us feel that there are, you know, people that are leaders in all different ways of life, whether it's technology, science, whether it's cures for various illnesses, whatever it might be. We have these leaders with real advancement, but why not? Why can't we run a country? Why can't we seem to figure out how to balance a budget? Why can't we seem to get along? Why can't we seem to do what's right instead of maybe what's right about lining the back pockets? Instead of just making assumptions or just doing, you know, politics as usual. And I think when I heard, like, for the seventh time, Ashley, you just got to vote for the least of the worst evil. To me, that is an unsuccessful system. I mean, that's not what I want to do. I mean, I wasn't raised when I was a kid, you know, to know that the system was flawed and that you have to vote for the least of the worst evil. This seems wrong. And I think at the worst point, at its core, the biggest issue is leadership. You know, is it that we have too much government? Is it that we don't have any true leaders in the system? Is it that we're stuck? And I think that we as humanity, some of us feel that we're stuck with this mediocrity at best. I mean, I think that politicians with little hope for our future, if you really think about it. So let's go on and continue our conversation, and let's go a step further. What does it do to our emotional core? What does it do to our core when we feel as though leadership is weak and ill and ineffective? I mean, what do you think about this? I mean, what does it do to the core? How do we feel when our own country, when our own representatives seem to not have leadership? Think about it.
Okay. For me personally, as far as the leadership aspect goes, I mean, I lead my own self. That's how I see it, because the thing is, I look at it like this. You know, I am in this world, you know, by myself. I have to depend on me. If I don't work, then I don't eat, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
That's not leadership. Leadership is when you lead others.
I was about to get to my point.
Okay.
All right.
Ooh, now, I like this. Let's go on with this.
Don't interrupt me, yo. So, anyways, Now, when it comes to leading other people, the thing is, though, with our system of government that we do have, when it comes to leadership, i.e. President of the United States, that person really cannot lead because they have to deal with 535 other people known as Congress. And whatever the president wants to decide, they either have to come together as a collective and say yay or nay. Now, the thing is, we do have two political parties, you know, and the thing is, though, we have two political parties for a reason. It is for a reason. Now, think about it. Back in the day when Ross Perot ran for president as an independent, as the other, people got behind him. People galvanized Ross Perot. In fact, he has a museum right down the road. But the thing is, though, both political parties, Democrats and Republicans, they came together as a collective and they buried him and he ultimately quit.
Well, because you're saying, okay, so Keenan, I get what you're saying. You're saying, okay, so you bring somebody in from the outside that tries to change the system, and both parties that have been in the system for so long are scared and basically try to, get rid of them. Deport them, take them out.
Exactly. I mean, the thing is, though, I mean, our political system is basically a coin flip, heads or tails. That's what it is. You either vote Democrat or you vote Republican. And the thing is, it's like, there are so many people that say, well, I'm an independent, whatever, what have you. The thing is, though, they only have two choices. Think about it. What if our political system was like Baskin Robbins 32 flavors?
That would be actually quite interesting. I don't know. What would be the flavor options?
It'd be either chocolate or vanilla, right? I mean, and if somebody tried to introduce strawberry, then chocolate and vanilla would gang up and kick him out.
Yeah.
But that isn't always the way it happens. George Bush was on Face the Nation this morning saying that when Ross Perot ran, it affected the election, that the election results would have come out different had Ross Perot not divided it up.
Okay,
so it does happen.
I mean, it does. The thing is, though, it's almost like what's that guy? Ron Paul.
Right.
Ron Paul, the libertarian and everything like that. And the thing is, though, he runs for president time and time and time again. But the thing is, though, my personal opinion is that I don't actually think that he really wants to win. I think that his whole game is just to throw a monkey wrench into the system.
I think you're absolutely right about that, Keenan. Yeah, and I think he knows he's not going to win, so he's going to try to. Ralph Nader is the same way. I think from the other side of the spectrum, they know they're not going to win, so they're going to influence the system by, trying to be the spoiler.
Okay. Well,
I don't agree at all. I think they're real leaders. When you're talking about leaders, those guys are leaders. They just weren't able to get to the point to lead because they weren't in the big parties, but they're free thinking people that really want to make a change in the world.
And they're not willing to conform. I'd have to agree a little bit on both sides here, because I do think that leadership, you have to think about leadership is not a slippery slope. I do feel that we can go back to the fact of how it's been weak and ineffective. I think that internally, us as human beings that are part of this society either get bothered, we go internal, or we avoid the news, we avoid the situation, or we inherently want to change it, but we don't know what to do. I feel like most of us feel like our hands are tied when it comes to politics.
Right. The average person does feel frustrated, and that's why I respect people like Ron Paul, whether you agree with them or not, or Ross Perot, because they stepped out and they tried to make a change and weren't just frustrated people.
Well, and I think you got a great point there, Gary. And it goes back to the point I was making earlier, rational ignorance. Most people are just too busy with their normal everyday lives to really involve themselves in the issues. And I think another part of that is, Keenan hit upon it. Think about it. When you go to vote, you're voting for the president, you're voting for your senator, you're voting for your U.S. Representative, voting for then at the state level, your governor, your lieutenant governor, whatever other state officers, your state representatives, your state senators, then your local, which is a hodgepodge. Who can keep up with all that kind of stuff?
Well, let's go back to what Keenan was saying about Baskin Robbins here. I feel that because a lot of us feel that the deck is stacked. Okay, let's go back to that. The two-party platform. I don't care if there's how many independents or so-and-so's a Tea Party. I don't really care about all this stuff. Let's just talk about how the deck is stacked. And I think that people in general, we get this right. Okay, so it's important to have rights, right? And we feel all warm and fuzzy when we have rights. And it's good, because if we didn't have rights, it would not be good. We would be in a communistic state. But let's just go to this fact and say we do have the right to vote. Okay, and people talk about how you need to make your voice heard, about how you can change the world. You can change the future. You have the power in your hand by the ability to go vote. Go to the voter polls. Go cast your vote. Because if you don't cast your vote, you're throwing away your rights.
But if you vote, if you're frustrated and you feel like your vote doesn't matter, your vote isn't going to change the world. You're just accepting the luxury of being able to vote in a free society.
Yeah, with nothing, but, with it stacked, because you can't vote for somebody that you feel could do a proper job at the job.
Exactly. I mean, we're not voting for anyone that's gonna, say, represent the common man, even though they try very hard to represent the common man. Like, who was that? Bill Clinton, you know, he's playing the saxophone, he's eating at McDonald's, he's like, hey guys, I'm just like you. But no, dude, you're not just like me, because the thing is, you make X amount of dollars and I make way less than you do, and the thing is, you're in this system and I'm not in that particular system. I'm an outsider. But the thing is, like, when it's all said and done, campaigns is all about, let's face it, it's all about money. It really is.
And amen to that.
Exactly.
Right.
And whoever makes the most money is going to win the election. That's just how it works. And the thing is, it's like, it's constant fundraising, because, like, I know with Congress, they run every 2 years. That's just too much. That's, I think it is. They run, they get in office, and then say a year later on the odd years, what do they do? They're raising money.
It's once a again, perpetual re-election campaign.
Exactly. It's a perpetual re-election campaign. The thing is, you know, while they're in office, you know, they got to pander to the base, which is very extreme on both sides. Now, when it comes to raising money, who's going to give the most money? It's going to be the corporations. And so whenever those corporations give the money and that person does get elected into office, it's like what Gary said earlier. Hey, dude, I got you here. I got you here. So now you got to, you know, pay me back in a way.
I agree. It's all about money. But I wonder if always the person that has the most money in their campaign wins. Like, I think Wendy Davis might have actually had more dollars in her campaign and she didn't win. So, but I agree with you. I'm really not sure about that.
She did it first. Yeah. And then as the season wore on, then Abbott caught up, definitely.
Okay.
Because he's the one that ran the majority of the ads at the end. But your point is good. Just because you have the most money isn't a guarantee you're going to win. It's what you do with it. But the way our political system is set up is that if you have a lot of money, then you've got a head start.
Absolutely.
What do you think, Ashley?
I totally agree. I do feel like it's all money. It's all monetary. And when we return, we're going to be talking more about, you know, feeling like the deck is stacked, but also going into the concept of leadership in our own life. You know, if we see it demonstrated, our country, our government, with little leadership, if none, how do we instill leadership in our life, in our family, in our lifestyle, as well as in the companies or whatever you work with? So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on 570 KLIF.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Wow, what a show we have for you tonight. You know, we've been talking about politics. We've been talking about the recent election. We've been talking about system breakdown. You know, I think we need to talk about one thing before we continue, is that, you know, I'm not putting down democracy. I get it that, we used to have these monarchies, and we used to have people that would rule, you know, countries based on the fact that they were born into a certain family. Okay, so at least we got something else going for us now. At least it's not just the automatic, you know, womb to rule. Okay, we don't have that right now. So at least we got something going for us. But let's flip-flop. So we got the democracy, we got this stuff going on, and to a degree, it's really nice that we can vote. I think the only issue that sometimes people feel is that it's a luxury, but yet it's a luxury to vote for somebody that you don't want to vote for. And I ask a question, and I asked this off when we were on break, is that I don't think... I think that there is very little, if any, political leadership. I'm sure that there are a few out there that are doing their best they can to try to change things, to make things good. I mean, I think you can't sit there and blanketly say there is no leaders in Congress or in the White House or for any of that matter. But I feel that when people don't like the system, what power do they have to change it? I mean, I think, could we even reunite people to change it? Is that even a possibility?
No. I really don't think that we can reunite people to change it, because the thing is, I mean, in order to change the system, you have to struggle. And like, really, nowadays in 2014, no one wants to struggle. I'm like this. It's not a protest unless you're getting bit by dogs, hit by water hoses, and you're being arrested. Other than that, it's not a protest.
Tear gas.
Yeah, exactly. Tear gas, you know. I mean, but the thing is, are you willing, are people willing to take that? Because I know, see, I'm a product of the civil rights generation, okay? I was raised by my grandparents. They were out there marching, what have you, and everything like that. You know, and they told me all about it. And I was like, wow, that's like...
hardcore.
I'm like, that is hardcore. But nowadays, we got, you know, college kids marching up and down the street with their little signs. But then at 9 o'clock,
they go home.
Exactly.
And they make
dinner. Social media protests.
Yeah. Whoa. Here's the thing about social media protests. I know in certain countries that are over in the Middle East, like Twitter will like completely like people go ape over Twitter. And the thing is, the government will shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
They will shut it down.
Some countries don't allow it. Period.
Exactly.
Like China.
They don't allow any sort of social media. China.
So the thing is, I'm like, you can get things done via social media. But the thing is, though, you got to go from the laptop and out into the streets.
How many people, you know, are going to take the time away from working their 9-to-5 jobs in order to eat and have roof over their heads to be able to do that?
I don't know. I mean, what do you think? I mean, I really feel that there's, you know, it's kind of like that old, you know, that old concept where people just get mad. They hate the system. They talk about it all the time, but they don't do anything about it. And you know what I'm talking about. We've all had this situation where you hear about it, you talk about it, and you just sit there and go, well, what am I going to do? Am I going to just argue and I can't use the other word on the air? Or are we going to do something about it? And at what point do you do something? What's effectively to do and what's not effective?
And actually, you know, theoretically, let me go back to your original question. Okay, theoretically, yes, all of us in our American society have the power to get like-minded individuals band together. You know, the natural leaders will emerge and, you know, we can get a movement going to make changes in the system. This last election that we began the show talking about, okay, the 2014 midterm elections, only 40% of the American electorate bothered to turn out to vote.
40%? Okay? We had a whole 40%?
Yeah.
That's actually pretty good.
For a midterm election, that's actually good, but think about it.
That's pretty good.
The majority of people this country stayed home.
But when you're saying, I just want to rewind a little bit, and when you're saying that people can band together and make a change, you know, most people really can't because they're worried about more basic things in life. They don't have the skills. They don't have the money. They don't have the power.
Well, yeah, I mean, Gary, I understand what you're saying.
Theoretically. But realistically, it just doesn't normally.
That makes sense. I mean, you know, you don't have people camping out at night. I mean, I agree with you. I think it's hard to band people together. I think the other thing, too, is that, you know, in groups, I mean, people can be kind of angry, crazy mobs. You know, I don't think that everybody's going to, you know, you have people that want this, you want this. But I think all in all, it's hard to get people together under one roof of a thought process.
Yeah, you look at the Occupy movement of the previous years,
How well did that work?
What now?
How well did that work?
I was going to say, see, at first, okay, it started out as a good thing. And then the mob mentality took over. And then that's when, you know, they started trashing, you know, storefronts, you know, just normal business people who were just minding their own business. And all this other stuff happened, and it just fizzled out.
They had no follow through whatsoever.
Right.
They had no follow through whatsoever.
Well, focus either. When it turns from changing politics and making real changes in the world just to violence and fun in the street, that's a different thing.
So Gary, I mean, you know, I know that leadership is a big thing for you, and you know, I appreciate you coming on the show tonight. When we started the show, I think you had it right. Leadership is the art of persuading people to do things, to do something you want them to do. Okay.
Right.
And you know, in our democratic society, where theoretically, you know, every person is sovereign unto him and herself, and they're also too busy to, you know, with their normal lives, you know, with working and raising a family and whatnot, that's a challenge.
I agree, and I want to go another step further into this, too, before we start talking about personal leadership tonight. I want to talk about how a lot of times we glamorize the past politics. I mean, I think everybody in here could agree that, I mean, yeah, I think Reagan was a great guy. There's some other people that were cool. But let's really look at the politics from the past and really say, how much better was it then than it is now? I think it's kind of the same thing. I think we fall into this the suit of really falling in love with the person that can look good. Sounds good. It's not necessarily about the issues. It's not necessarily about any sort of follow through, because we really can't say that anybody's really followed through that much. And it really can't be. And it can't be about leadership. I mean, to me, it's more like Hollywood. It's like the ugly Hollywood. You know what I mean? You got Hollywood and then you got politics. You got like, you know, Hollywood where you say, you know, you got these hot, like Brad Pitt and everything. And then you look on the other side and you got the political Hollywood, which is like Nancy Pelosi and everybody else. And these people, it's just the same thing. It's all political, but it's also about who likes who. It's popularity contest.
It's definitely popularity contest writ large. You know, a quick example for you, Keenan. You remember Admiral James Stockdale?
No.
He was Ross Perot's vice presidential candidate.
Okay.
What was it, 96?
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing. See, he was an admiral in the Navy, fighter pilot in Vietnam, got shot down and captured, and stayed at the infamous Hanoi Hilton, wouldn't spill his guts, and so he was tortured, I mean, almost to death. They punctured out his eardrums, if you can imagine how that feels, okay? And he wouldn't spill his guts, spent the rest of the war in that encampment, and came back to society, got back in the Navy, then, you know, started a successful business career. And yet when he ran for vice president, you know, he just, his only sin was that he didn't look good on TV. And for that, he was made a character.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing. I mean, technology has changed the entire game.
Absolutely.
You know, media has changed the entire game. I mean, even when we can go back to, you know, Nixon and Kennedy. You know, people that listened to that infamous or that famous debate, you know, when they listened to it, they thought, you know, Nixon won.
On the radio.
On the radio. Yet, people who watched it on television thought that Kennedy won. You know, and the thing is, that just goes to show you how media has a really huge influence on our society and whatnot. But the thing is, though, I mean, it's always been like that, even before television, even before radio, because the thing is, before there was television and radio, there was this thing called theater. And theater was created to inform, instruct, and entertain.
Shakespeare's plays were all political.
Exactly, exactly. So if you are a leader, or if you want to run for any type of leadership position, first and foremost, you got to look good on camera.
Yep.
You got to look good on camera. You got to have that voice. You got to also sound good as well.
Have the smile.
Exactly. Have the smile. I mean, they're all going out getting veneers left and right.
Chompers.
Yeah. Hey, look at Joe Biden. Teeth aren't real.
Our boy Biden. Oh, man. It's rough out there. That's rough. You know, and you're right, though. It has really much changed. I mean, the recent TV, everything else that we have has changed, especially with high definition.
Okay, so it hasn't much changed, but let's look at how it will change in the future. How social media will affect all this, because that is new.
Huge. Social media is going to be huge, because the thing is, though, with social media, every person who has a cell phone or a laptop, desktop, and you have a Wi-Fi connection, what have you, you're able to get on social media, whatever platform it is or will be, and you're able to state your opinion. And the thing is, it changes because the consumer is not a producer.
Has a voice.
Exactly. You know, Keenan, I was just about to say, so it's going to come to the point where there's going to be no sharp difference between the people who are covering the event versus the people who are following the events. They're going to be pretty much one and the same.
It's totally postmodern.
Okay, well, until now, we've all agreed that money can buy an election and buy influence. So will it still be able to buy influence when you have social media and everybody can be on it?
Yes, still need more money because they want to buy more on social media as well. They want to get it across.
Yeah, I make my living in social media. And for example, Facebook, you can actually pay Facebook to have your particular posts show up more often. I mean, I'm on Facebook right now. Mm-hmm. And as you notice, when you're on Facebook, you see certain posts that are sponsored by so-and-so. That person or that company paid Facebook to have their...
I see those every day.
Exactly.
Every day at the top of my feed, and I don't have anything else.
Exactly. That's money.
When we return, we're going to talk more about that. We're going to also talk about how you can actually develop leadership and be a leader in your own life for yourself as well as for others. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
I can lift you up. I can show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be.
Get in here and give us your perspective. We're listening. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. In tonight's show, we've been discussing politics as usual, about how we feel that a lot of times in the government, we have little if no leadership. You know, I feel that a lot of times, though, we almost extrapolate the concept of having no leadership almost into our own lives. And I think that we have to really figure out how we can lead ourselves, how leadership and being a leader is an integral part of our lives. And I think we have to begin this discussion right now talking about being a leader, how you lead yourself, how you lead others. And I think it begins with vision, values, intelligence, and purpose. I think that in order to be able to lead yourself or anybody for that matter to the proverbial water, you have to have the vision, but you also have a necessary purpose. And I think all of these have to be based in a conscious, positive, real, truthful reality. I mean, I think you could sit there and try to lead somebody off the primrose path based on some sort of antiquated ideas that you have that aren't based in the truth, and that's one thing. But I think if you're leading from authentic leadership, that's another thing. And just because we don't always see it in the government and in big government, sometimes we have to establish this in our own lives. And I think we were talking about this on break, you know, Gary, you were talking about parents. And I do think that to a degree, mom and dad does lead the family. I think some people might, you know, push it off to the schools or what have you. But I think for the most part, they are as best they can.
You know, getting back to the politics, I think one of the things is people used to believe politicians were leaders. And I think that's one of the things that slipped away. And that's kind of made the feeling you were talking about. Where people don't feel like it matters because they don't feel like either party is really leading. They feel like the politician's just trying to obtain their goal, their personal agenda, whatever that is.
Well, the thing is, though, we live in this society that actually thinks that you can train someone to be a leader, because under what politics, you know, all these people are, you know, vetted and what have you, and the party comes together and they say, hey, you're going to be the leader. And the thing is, it's the same way within our society. For example, this woman I like, Lori Smith. Okay, she is like really a leader. Like when you talk to her, she is a leader when it comes to education. The thing is, though, the school system that she works in thinks that she is not a leader. So now she's she's doing this whole leadership program, right, at a college, a leadership program, teaching her how to be a leader. And I'm like, that's good. That's great. However, you're already a leader. No one needs to teach you how to be a leader. Like when I was in the Air Force, I went through Airman Leadership School, and the question was asked towards me, Keenan Cobb, do you think you can train someone to be a leader? And I said, no. I was like, no, that is, Sergeant, that's wrong. Because a person is either a leader or they're not. Because I've seen people in leadership position who cannot lead a duck to water. Okay, because it's like they have no vision. They have no passion. You know, it's like they just don't want to get anything done. Because
it's a different set of skills than other things they might have been successful at.
It is a very much so a different set of skills, because with leadership, it's like, look, guys, we're going to do this and we're going to do this now. And
well, guys, I'm sorry. I just wanted to ask if it's possible that we're trying to quantify the unquantifiable, because yes, there are certain leadership leadership concepts that, you know, you can write down on paper and maybe you can study, But the innate leadership, you know, maybe you can't quantify that.
I don't think you can train somebody to be a leader.
Exactly.
I think that somebody has to be born to be a leader. But I think that other people that might not be born to be a leader can learn to find their purpose, can learn to find certain vision, can understand what maybe their vision is, but maybe even more than that, can understand clearly their values. I think if somebody can understand those things, though, they can work to become a leader. I don't think that this is just like some sort of like VIP, you know, private club. Where only certain people are born into it and therefore they become leaders. I think you can learn it, but I think you basically have to learn the biggest things, and that's to be able to see your vision. And I think in order to see your vision, you have to understand what your true purpose is, and that takes a certain level of intelligence and a certain level of inner work beyond anything else.
And on top of that, in order to be a good leader, first and foremost, you have to be a good follower, and you have to be a good listener as well, because the thing is, you're leading these people, and the people that you're leading, they all listen to the same radio station, WIIFM, What's In It For Me. Okay, and the thing is, you need to be able to tell them what is in it for them, what is going to be their personal gain, and in order for you to achieve their personal gain, you have to listen. You have to listen. And whatever it is, whatever issue that they have, you got to be able to follow through with it. You know,
I agree with you. You have to be a good listener, and that's part of it. It's like you can't just lead and not listen to anybody. I mean, the best leaders, the best directors out there understand everybody that's in their group, that understands everybody's issues, that understands everybody's needs. And I think that's so important. But I think that begins with vision. You can't have an accurate vision if you don't understand the vision of the other people around you, if you don't understand the situations that other people are dealing with on a daily basis that they may need help with. And I think that is what is so important. I think the concept of values, though, having certain values that you will not go against, that is a part of being a leader. You have to sit there and say, I am a leader and I believe in these values and these are my core values. And like I tell people when they come in and deal with me with therapy, I said, what do you value? And then if you're doing something that's against your values, how does that work for your values? You either have to change your values or stop doing what you're doing because it's counterproductive. And I think a real leader understands their values, will not actually walk over those values and will sit there and say, hey, I stake claim to these values and I will not concede.
So in addition to the being intuitive, you need integrity, which you learn before kindergarten.
That's so true. Integrity.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah. Integrity is a big deal. And also, what is also a big deal is that even as a leader, and it goes back to listening. It goes back to listening. And the thing is, you know, you might be a leader and, you know, a leader could come up with, you know, 10 ideas a day. Now, on a good day, six of those ideas will be good. Only six. The thing is, that leader needs to put people around him to tell him, hey, guy, these other four ideas are bad. So let's not do that.
Don't have a bunch of people kissing their butt,
exactly,
telling them what they want to hear. But also on the flip side, that leader has to not be so into power that they don't check themselves.
Exactly.
Because that's when it happens. When you are so surrounded by yes people all the time. And I think a real good leader with good vision and purpose realizes when they're surrounded by yes people.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel it. I mean, because I know when I come up with ideas and it's not so hot. And then I know when I come up with good ideas, and I feel like you can feel it in your core. And I feel like sometimes the best of ideas are the ones that nobody's saying yes to.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know Ashley,
they're the ones that are trying to put you down with it. They're trying to get rid of those ideas.
You know, Ashley, I think that, you know, some people wield leadership like a sword or a gun, okay? There's good types of leaderships, and there's bad types of leaderships. And, you know, some people will lead people to do good things, and some people will lead people to do bad things. That doesn't mean it's not leadership. It's just, you know, how it's used.
It's that King Kong ain't got crap on me mentality.
Yeah.
Well, I agree. I think anybody has the ability to go one way or another. But again, this goes back to values. I don't feel that you can be a good leader with bad values. I mean, you can't. You can lead somebody to some sort of bad situation. I get that. I mean, you could be Hitler. I get that. But I'm saying let's go to that next level where you have somebody that actually doesn't abuse power. And I think a real leader doesn't really even understand the power they have.
No, they don't.
Right?
They really don't, because the thing is, I'm not going to say that a real leader is exactly humble in a way, but at the same time.
But they are. But they're inherently humble because they're actually almost blinded to the power that they have for a reason, because it's almost like they have to be, because I think they do it to themselves. And I can try to explain this, but I feel that to a degree with power, when you know you have it, but you're a real true leader, you actually put blinders on for that power because you don't need to see that, because you're actually doing it for a actual purpose. And so the power has nothing to do with the purpose. So you can't ever allow that to cloud your judgment.
You know, real quickly, Ashley, we're coming to the end of the show. That's the reason why I admire George Washington so much. It's not because of necessarily what he did, but what he didn't do. He had the chance to make himself the dictator of America right at the birth of this country, and he chose to give it all up and return to his farm.
That's because being the president is pretty hard. Have you seen presidents after they leave
and he was the first one?
Yeah,
and you're right, and I think that's so important. Gary, it was great having you tonight.
Thank you.
It's
great
awesome
to be
having
here.
You, Keenan.
Thanks, yo.
Di's here in the house, but she's not on mic. It's great having her. Bill, it was a great show tonight.
Great show tonight. Thanks very much, Ashley.
So just remember this, everybody that's listening tonight, you know, a leader, what is made up from a leader? How does a leader become a leader? It's vision. It's their values. It's their intelligence, and it's also their purpose. You got to stick with those, not allowing power or anything else to get in your way. We have a great show for you next week. We look forward to that. And Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in 3 shakes.